Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Undiscovered Worlds. I am Ryan. Over there is Maria, as always. And today's all about myths. Problem is, when you look for myths, well, Maria, what was your experience?
It's interesting because when you think of a myth, you can either bust a myth or find myths and legends. So I focus more on breaking myths or stories that may not be truth. So that's what I focused on. So most of my myths begin, for example, with something as myth busting. So I'm going to start with it.
Okay.
Due to historical evidence, the myth busters deem it plausible that eye patches were actually eye patches that pirates wore actually had a real good purpose. It's not that they just lost an eye. Most of them actually had a perfectly good eye. And apparently they kept it covered in order for the eye to always be adapted to see easier in the dark below deck so that they could lift their eyes. So if they were going below deck immediately, they would be able to see what's going on.
So basically you just flip your eye patch. So you're on deck and then you go under deck and you like flip your eye patch to the other side or something.
Or just leave it, you know, take it off and the other eye will eventually adapt, but it will be faster adaptation.
Okay. All right. Okay. So when you said bust a myth, I was just waiting for you to say bust a move. I was thinking, it said you bust a myth. I was like, okay.
You're going to bust a myth there for sure.
Yeah, I kind of got the same thing. Like you can either do mythology or you can do like the myth of, but yeah, I'm glad we kind of both took it the same way. So that'll work out pretty well. But so it's a myth that Columbus thought that the world was flat. It's a myth that people in medieval ages thought the world was flat. It goes all the way back to about the 3rd century BC, some say the 5th century BC. But Hellenistic astronomers actually established the rough spherical shape of the Earth, and they even calculated its circumference. So anybody that tells you Columbus or other people, even before like zero, before switching to AD, thought the world was flat is misleading or misinformed or getting too many of their facts from the internet. Except this show. This show, good stuff, other stuff, verify everything you get. Okay, verify this stuff too, but just have fun with it.
Yes, we do our best to choose things that are true. But again, we're scouring the internet. We're not doing the research ourselves to check if pirates did or did not use their eye patch. But something that was interesting also that I thought was very good to know, especially if you live in cold weathers, is they always say to try to keep your head covered when it's cold outside. But here's the thing. You're not supposed to overdo it either. The myth is that you lose most of your heat through your head. It is, of course, important to cover your head and also the ears, of course, if you're going to get cold. But you actually, your body needs to stay warm. Only 8 to 10% of your body's heat emanates from your head. So there is the myth. So you actually need to keep your entire body warm.
Okay. So Santa style, basically. You got the hat and the big coat and the pants and the... Okay, all right. Full coverage.
Mm-hmm. But if you get on a... Like if you, for any reason, you get frostbite on your fingers, some people say, oh, run it, like put your hands on ice. Well, of course, you shouldn't do that because you're trying to warm your body up. But because your nerve ends are so frozen, you may not have sensation. Like, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I've had my fingers literally frozen, and once they are defrosting, it actually hurts more. But you're not supposed to put your hands on hot water either. Just room temperature to warm water, because you don't want to burn your hand, because you're not going to know if you're burning your hand and everything is sore. So just FYI.
Okay. All right. I wanted to delve a little bit into where some of the myths came from. So I think sometimes the origins of the myth are just as fun as the myths themselves and getting them corrected. But for the longest time, probably growing up, your parents told you that eating carrots was good for your eyesight. Well, in actuality, that's kind of a misleading fact, because it was actually begun by the Britons in World War II, because they had basically they had radar technology, and they'd also cracked the codes later in the war for the Germans. So their bombers would come, and basically as a excuse, they put that myth out there. So they had an excuse as to why they were so able to locate and shoot down German bombers. And then with the myth out there, they would just say, oh, it's because we eat a lot of carrots, so our eyesight's really good. So the Germans wouldn't believe that they came up with a new technology or some other way of detecting them. And then when you think you're the superior force, your ego gets the best of you. So I'm sure they were just like, oh, that sounds about right. But that's where that myth came from.
Love it. So don't eat carrots. No, I'm kidding. Still eat carrots. Good vitamin A. Good for your skin. They actually have another myth that I thought was kind of hilarious that runs around and you still hear it. That NASA actually spent a ton of money producing a pen that did not lick ink while Soviet astronauts simply used a pencil. And that's actually not true at all.
It's not true, and you're definitely right. But I think the other thing that people need to understand is when you hear these rumors of like, oh, NASA created this much money for a coffee cup, when they could have just used our regular coffee cup. It's kind of like the safety glass, like on your car and stuff. Yes, but if you can create something that can do less damage if something happens, it is worth the investment.
Yes.
So if safety glass breaks in a way that's not going to cut you up if you go through it or cause other harm after the accident. So basically, you're shielding people from being more harmed by going through the window. And you get that in a lot of other aspects too, where there've been so many good inventions have come out of NASA. We'll do a video in the future about astronauts and NASA and stuff like that, I think, because there's just so many cool things that you wouldn't think of that were invented because of the money that got put into that program to try to solve a problem or fill a need in space, which is different from on Earth.
Totally.
All right, let's see. Ah, here's a fun one. So if you guys watch movies or TV, you probably think that a foreign embassy belongs, the soil, that territory belongs to the foreign country. So the United States, the embassy of whatever, Turkey or Italy or Germany, belongs, that area belongs to them. It's actually not true. The embassy, they don't have to follow the rules of the country they're in, but the soil itself still belongs to the home country. Because if it didn't, that would just create a whole ton of problems, because then you'd have a piece of Italy within the United States and then all this other logistical things that go with it. It got picked up by the movie somehow, and then it just became the thing, and then they understood, like, oh, that must be true. They say it everywhere. But that's not the case. They don't have to follow the rules, the laws, but it's not their soil. It's still the soil.
It's not autonomous, but it is in many movies. What you see is when they are seeking shelter for safety or something like that, is because they know that the rules or regulations do not apply at that particular place. So if you're running, so that's, I think, what it is. But yeah, in the movies, they're like, oh, if you touch the soil, this American soil, it's really not.
Yeah, exactly. But the rules aspect is still true.
That's true. Now, this is a good one. You need to focus here. Use your entire brain for this one. It is a myth, actually, that we use a small percentage of our brains. Now, if you saw the movie Lucy that was with Scarlett Johansson, you see that how her brain starts actually increasing its function. Well, according to research that was done, it's nothing but a myth. Neuroscientist Barry Gordon told Scientific American that he says that humans use virtually every part of their brain, and most of the brain is actually active all the time. It's just how we use it. And there is actually, this one actually blew my mind, because they're talking about there is no solid left or right brain that like we believe is left or right or right. Left brain can learn right things and functions and vice versa. So it's actually very versatile. And they did studies where somebody lost part of their brain due to a tumor or whatever it was, and therefore they lost the mobility of a part of their body or maybe even speech, but eventually were able to regain it. And the body, when they did a scan, their brain actually learned to use and move that part of that body that was not designed for it. But they kind of learn. It's like the brain is like a computer. It finds where to put the information. And I thought that was just so incredible.
Yeah, it finds pathways and stuff. A lot of times intelligence and things like that are actually marked by, these days, the interconnectivity between the hemispheres, because then those are the bridges between the two. And the more bridges you have, the more you can use different sides and different pieces for different functions.
Exactly.
And studies that actually show women have more interconnected, they have more bridges between the hemispheres of their brain than men do, which is part of why they account for how women kind of think differently than men. We're very linear. Women will start talking about one thing and then get sidetracked, but eventually come all the way back around to where they started. So just the way that we speak and the way we approach the world a lot of times has a lot to do with using both sides of your brain or not. But I had read that also where like, oh, artistic people are more right-brained and this, that, all, that's also untrue. That's also a myth where when you think of these skills being your this-sided brain or that. And the
exactly.
Other, also. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Don't ever try this, guys, but you can. It is a myth. It's possible. Impossible. Okay, the myth is you can't sneeze with your eyes open, but you can. You can train yourself to do it. And then the other myth is that your eyes will bulge out of your head. The eyes will bulge a little bit just because of the pressure. That's your sinuses are connected and your throat and then your eyes. So they'll actually pop forward a little bit, but they're not gonna like pop out of your head. Not that you would ever need this. There's a reason why your eyes close when you sneeze. It's a protective feature. It's a body reflex for a reason. But it's a myth that it's impossible to train yourself to sneeze with your eyes open.
Also, the fact that your eyes close is to protect yourself from anything that is being spewed so that you don't, so it's just keep everything tucked in and protect yourself.
Because I tend to sneeze and then put my head right into it. That's how I do it.
I think most people do. Anyway,
inadvertently.
Speaking of sneezing, nothing to do with sneezing, but it had to do with the 5-second rule.
Okay.
The 5-second rule is a complete myth.
Of course
bacteria,
it is.
Bacteria, of course, I know. Which I always find to be so gross. Like, oh, it's a 5-second rule. I'm like, yeah, nah. Bacteria can actually live after 4 weeks on carpet. Because what happens is there is something called microbial adhesion, where the germs are transferred to food. Like, there is just, they're like a little glue thing. So they transfer to food, especially like salmonella, and different types of salmonella, just different types of bacteria. So yeah, be careful because you don't want to be not sneezing.
If you sneeze food on the ground, it's definitely not good for 5 seconds. We'll combine the two facts together.
Whoa.
10 seconds. No, that's the rule.
Code V.
Right. So it's interesting because there are certain facts that we can actually look at with our eyes and believe that those facts are true. There's actually a myth that human blood, depending on what direction it's going from the heart, it's red going in one direction, the blue going the other direction because it's deoxygenated at that point. And then we can look sometimes at our actual veins in our arms and kind of go, yeah, that definitely has a green hue, that has a blue hue. So if somebody were to say, we have blue blood, it's deoxygenated, you would tend to believe them because you feel like you can look at your own body and say, yeah, that's true. But it's not. If you've ever seen anybody bleed, nobody ever bleeds blue, no matter what gets cut. So essentially what's happening is it's that layer of skin and fat in your body that distorts light waves. And we talked about this a little bit when we did our bear video on Wild Chats. How polar bears, their fur isn't actually white, it's clear. And it's the reflection of the light is what you're seeing coming back as white. So color, that's really all it is what's getting reflected back to our eyes, what wavelengths. So your blood isn't blue, it's just by the time that light goes through your skin and your fat and you're seeing your vein,
exactly,
what's getting blocked out versus what's getting reflected, it appears blue, but your blood isn't blue.
And actually, the best way to see it is when I was watching a video with Will Smith was actually doing an animal video and they had him wear a red shirt and they went deep, deep, deep into the ocean. And the cool thing is you could actually see his red shirt losing color. The deeper he went, he kept losing color and it was the last color that dissipated, but it turned into a mushy blue basically. And it's the same thing. Our bodies are nicely, I'm not saying doesn't, and some light doesn't penetrate, but it's basically nice and dark in there.
You're up.
My turn. Ooh, speaking of how our bodies are so amazing. So there is a myth that, in fact, Latin America does it all the time, that if you shave the baby's head, the hair is going to grow better. Some other legends actually say if you shave the head of your siblings, the kid who you're trying to make the hair grow for, her will get stronger. Go figure where that myth came from. But the shaving of your own head was the bigger myth, and that will grow thicker. But actually, just grow, it will just...
It doesn't make a difference.
A myth. Shaving your hair doesn't make the hair change color, rate of growth, or thickness at all, says the Mayo Clinic. So it's a good source there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it just makes it look thicker because when you cut the tip of it and you trim it, then it feels more coarse as it grows out. But...
Okay.
So don't shave the baby's head.
So sometimes, guys, when we hear things or we read things on the internet and stuff like that, you need to consider the source and you need to think back a little bit and think what's logical. So there's a myth that the original myth was the Great Wall of China can be seen from the moon. And then the myth became that the Great Wall of China could be seen from like the space station or the space shuttles. The catch with this myth is it was first brought up in like taverns and stuff in 1893. It's kind of the origin as far back as they can trace it. And then an American magazine, The Century, picked it up and it resurfaced in 1932 when it got brought up on shows and then within that magazine. Well, if you put your thinking caps on, how would anybody in 1893 or 1932 be able to verify whether that was true or not? We didn't get to space till the 60s.
Exactly.
So there would be no way for anybody. I mean, clearly it was made up. So myth done.
Done. Ended. Go to the moon.
Yes.
So or another Mars. Myth. That,
or Mars.
Well, heck, might as well go to Jupiter. Why not? So Americans actually thought that tomatoes were poisonous until like the early 19th century. Now you have green fried tomatoes in the South, and that's very popular. And back in the 1700s, people called them poisoned apples.
Mm-hmm.
That's because tomatoes are highly acidic. And what happened is that the aristocrats actually ate tomatoes from pewter dishes. Pewter is metal. It looks like aluminum, a little shinier and thick. And that is what actually resulted in lead poisoning. Yes. So it wasn't that the green tomatoes were poisonous. It's the interaction between the acidity and then lifting up some of that. So that's according to Smithsonian. So the poisoned apple myth still prevails in Great Britain for more than 200 years.
So every creature has its origin. And
dragons.
So, what's that? No, zombies. We're doing zombies, Maria. And so zombies originally were kind of part of like Bokor folklore, and they could turn people into zombies and stuff. But that came after several hundred years ago. People would think that they would see zombies, or the zombie stories essentially originated from poor medical knowledge. So doctors would pronounce somebody dead, and then they would be buried. When in actuality, they were in a coma. But they didn't know what comas were, and then if your breath gets so shallow and your heart's barely beating, there's not really the tools to tell the difference, depending on what's happening. Depending on the doctor, could be somebody that just thinks they know medicine, but you know, somebody doesn't move for X period of time, you pronounce them dead. So they would get buried. And then they had, because it was so prevalent, not so prevalent, but prevalent enough, they actually created a coffin with a bell on it. So there's a string that runs into the coffin, so if someone's alive, they can ring the bell. But basically, zombie myths came from there, the early days when people were being pronounced dead and then being buried, and then they'd come back to life, or they'd be pronounced dead, come back to life before they were buried. People started to think that they were risen from the dead. And then that started... happening so much, they created the specialty coffins with the string. So they finally started acknowledging, okay, we're just accidentally burying people that aren't passed away. But that caveat of the zombies just kind of persisted and then moved into different areas of society for different reasons.
So what I read something about that, because that topic is just so horrid that it makes you wonder why some people are afraid of one thing or another, and it feels like in a past life perhaps you were buried alive. But the myth, the idea comes, like, they started noticing when they were robbers who would actually try to rob the recently buried person or the buried person to see if they had any jewelry or things. So they'll come and open the casket and realize that that person had been buried alive. And so then it started becoming a thing about the string just because that was happening. And you still hear stories about that, and it's just so scary. Oof. Now, the idea of slow metabolism, not slow heart rate whereby you're about to pass out, but slow metabolism, the idea of slow metabolism causing obesity is a myth, and it is actually, and it's innate laziness, or lowers levels of non-exercise activity, thermogenetics. So basically, slow metabolism is a myth. I guess working out needs to just to burn more calories.
Okay, this one out there, it's a survival myth, and these are the ones that I think are so important to bust, because there's nothing worse than needing help or something's going wrong and you think you have a hack or a tip or something and it's just not right. So I think this is really important. There's a myth floating around basically that says that if someone's forcing you to take money out of an ATM, if you type your PIN backwards, it alerts the police. That is not true. Don't do this. And if you do it, don't expect anybody to show up. ATMs don't have that kind of communication. They're just tied into the internet to check your balances. So that's just not the way that an ATM functions. So please, anybody out there that's heard this myth, if anybody still believes this myth, please pass it on, because it is not true.
Now, the interesting thing is so many ATMs, if you put your PIN wrong, it will actually swallow your card. So it may not necessarily, and that's older because the newer ones you pull, you know, it doesn't swallow the card like it used to be. But in the old times, if you put your PIN wrong a couple of times, it will swallow your card. So no way somebody can steal from you. But that was in the past. Nowadays, you don't do it.
I've never done it wrong enough times or something, or I don't know anybody that's ever had that happen to them. I've heard that also, but I can't verify even that one because I don't know anybody
That
that's
was
had it.
older ATMs. And again, you're right. It's
They
not
still
something
exist.
I could personally verify.
I went to
But
Wells
it
Fargo
was
Bank.
interesting. There was something interesting though. There was a myth that American Express had a black card that was basically the, you know, the just the best thing that could happen to you. And that was in prior to 1999. So the mythical American Express black card, who could open all the doors in the world, was actually a myth that became so pervasive that American Express actually decided to capitalize on it and actually made a black ultra exclusive credit card. So due to that myth, apparently they decided to capitalize on that.
Nice. All right, guys. I found this one interesting. A lot of people have heard the myth that Orson Welles' War of the World, the radio broadcast, actually created hysteria everywhere it was played. Or when it was played, it created hysteria. And then that myth had been busted. But then it got carried over because I heard it got played in like Chile or something. And then they say, well, when it got played in Chile is when the hysteria broke out. So it seems like this is just one of those myths that doesn't want to go away. And it was interesting because I never heard the reason why. I'm like, well, why would this be the case? Where did this myth really come from? And it turns out that basically it was created by newspapers to instill fear in the power of broadcast radio, because the newspapers didn't want to lose their business to radio. So by showing it was such an evil, it was kind of like when they were doing AC power versus DC power, they'd have all these demonstrations to show why one was bad and one was good, to try to win over the audience. But that whole War of the Worlds Orson Welles radio show myth was created by newspapers to stop people from listening to the radio so they didn't lose their customers.
That is so sad. And so there is a myth that lightning never strikes twice. Well, actually, it is not true at all. So just because you're standing somewhere and light stroke somewhere nearby, just don't try it, because scientifically, that myth was debunked in 2003. NASA actually did it, and it reported that it definitely strikes in one more place twice, and even a third time. So don't even use that phrase of lightning never strikes twice.
Interesting. Mar, do you have any fun trivia questions for the audience this episode?
Trivia.
A lot of times what happens is we pick trivia questions, but then we end up doing them as facts, or the other person will do it as a fact. So at the end, even though we did have some, they may have already gotten used up.
Well, do you know, or do you know what the myth or reality of hyperactivity and sugar? They're talking about the sugar rush. And I'm going to post it as a thing, because there is just, if we're talking about myths, is this a real myth or not?
Yeah, you don't.
Well, we know it's not.
Yeah, if you don't have a quiz, it's all right. Mar does this sometimes. She really wants to get involved, and then she tries to turn one of her facts into a question. If you don't have any, it's all right. Not every fact lends itself to a question. It's all right. I have one, so we'll at least get one for the audience.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, let's see. So a lot of people know that the U.S. is like one of the few or only countries that doesn't use the metric system. We still use 12 inches. We still use miles. But that's actually a myth. The U.S. isn't the only country that does not use the metric system. There's actually three countries. The U.S. is one of them. Can anybody out there name the other two countries that don't use the metric system? One of the countries actually has two names. So I'll accept either name.
Because I actually thought that even though the U.S. still uses inches, it does apply the metric system in some of its creations.
I'm not saying they don't use it at all, but they use another system of measurements as their primary system. So other countries use other systems of measurement, not metric, as their primary system. Not that they don't understand what it is or don't use it in science, but just like the UK still uses stones for a measurement of weight. That's not one of them. We're talking about an entire system. So US has a whole system of measurements that's different from the metric system. The UK just uses one. Any ideas, Mar? Okay.
I could guess, but I know I'm going to be like wrong because I don't have even an idea.
That's okay. One is Liberia.
Okay.
And the other is the country with two names in Southeast Asia, which either goes by Myanmar or Burma.
Oh, and it depends the name.
It changed by an unrecognized ruling party. So then we still use the old name, and there's a lot of political stuff tied up in whether you call it Myanmar or Burma. But in this situation, we just care about it's a country that doesn't use the metric system.
And the fun thing is, if you will have asked me, in Southeast Asia, a country that is known, like in the past, Mumbai or Bombay was, the city in India, and they changed the name and now everybody knows. But if you would have asked me which country in Southeast Asia, I probably would have guessed I had a friend from
there. Okay.
From Burma/Myanmar. Depending on how you want to call it.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the episode. A little bit of myth busting, a little bit of myth origin, and just some myths that you shouldn't be repeating to other people. You can educate now. Or just laugh silently under your breath as they keep spouting these things that you know aren't true now. thank you so much for joining us, guys. Please click the subscribe button if you haven't already. And if you're listening to us on a podcast, on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you might be catching us, please follow us, like us, and leave us some comments, guys. We love reading those. Gives us an idea of how we're doing, what we're doing, and what you guys are thinking. And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.